Welcome to each one of you who is joining us via our church blog. Today is Sunday, June the 7th, and it is truly a blessing to come to you again by means of a web broadcast. I know, especially to those of our home congregation in Morden, it's been a while since I've been talking to you, and certainly looking forward to meeting you all again in the very near future. Today I want to greet you with the words that we find, or how the Apostle John greets the church. And the Apostle John, when he wrote his epistles to the church, he was, we assume, already an aged man. And as he greets the church, I find it kind of special as he is greeting them. And he says, "The elder," as referring to himself. He says, "The elder unto the elect lady," and I believe this is referring to the church. "Unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of my children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father." Today's topic, I want to talk about how we can discern truth. And I know in today, in our times, it is seemingly so hard to discern the truth. We are constantly being influenced by many different ways of thinking, and then the thought may come to our minds is, what is truth? Or how can I know what is truth? What should I believe? What should I not believe? So that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at some verses in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be spending a fair bit of time in John, or the epistles of John. And so for introductory verses, I want to start with 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And here John says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So John is setting the stage here, and he is telling us that he has been an eyewitness of the truth. When he talks of what he has seen with his eyes, he has looked upon, he has handled with his hands, the word of life, referring to Jesus. And he says that we have seen it and heard it, and we declare it unto you. and is a message that still is being declared to us today, or still shared to us today through words of the Holy Scripture. And John is kind of setting the stage here as far as the truth. He says, this is not something that I'm just writing here for my enjoyment or for entertainment, but this is what I've experienced. This is the truth that I'm sharing with you. So today we do want to look at how we can better discern or be better stewards of our minds, even if you will, as to what we believe and what we don't believe. So before we do that, I would just invite you to bow with me and let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you, and Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given to us. And Lord, we realize that it is through your grace and your grace alone that you have given us another day to experience and another day where we have an opportunity to live for you. Lord, today as we look at the topic of discernment and truth, and we know that truth is found in your word, truth is found in you and in you alone. And you are the Father of truth, and we need to realize that we look to you in order to discern the truth. Today, Lord, I also pray for all those that are not feeling well or those that are lonely, especially at this time. May you be with them in a special way, and that they would find encouragement even as we go through a time of where we think we are tried, and yet, Lord, we know that you are still blessing us every day, and we still have so many things to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Thank you for the night that we have been able to rest, and Lord, as we look forward to a new day, may you walk with us. May your Spirit enlighten us. May your Spirit guide us in all truth. Lord, I just pray that now this morning, as we share this time together, that you would bless each one that is listening. May you bless those that are serving in the music, and may you open our hearts what it is that you want to reveal to us today, that we may be good stewards of handling your word. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
An answer. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve.
Well, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. Well, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
So as text words for this morning, I want to use, as I said, 1 John chapter 4 in verses 4 to 6. I want to start off by reading those verses, and then we want to take a little closer look at them. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. One of the reasons John was inspired to write this the first epistle was to help us become aware of false teaching and to help us distinguish between the true and the false. And John says in chapter 2, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now the word seduce means to lead astray. We need instruction and guidance in order that we might distinguish between the false and the true, because there are seducers trying to mislead us, and certainly it was necessary to distinguish between the false and the true in John's day, as it is still today. It is all the more needful for us today. Jesus warned his disciples that deception would increase as we approach the end of the age. Paul says that evil men and seducers, or those who lead astray, will wax worse and worse as we approach the time of the end. Today there is a racket of confusing voices all around us. Many times the teachings are presented, or that are presented, become conflicting and bewildering, and we hardly know which way to turn. Especially with the prolific use of social media in our current time, where anyone can share their views, opinions, theories, or outright falsehoods to a worldwide audience, which seemingly has a huge appetite for anything that is of a negative nature. Completely opposite of the instruction found in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of these things. I have a great concern for the church of today, particularly those that are new in the faith, as I think of those 47 baptism candidates in our churches that have recently been or will soon be baptized upon the confession of their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are bombarded with a dizzying amount of information or misinformation on a constant basis, much of which causes us fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I sometimes refer to this as FUD, or F-U-D, fear, uncertainty, doubt. Therefore, we must learn the art of discernment, and we must learn to sort out the true from the false. In verse 1, in 1 John 4, it says that we must try the spirits. The word try means to prove or to test. We are not to be like a sponge soaking up everything that we hear. John says there are too many false teachers around. We must test what we hear and read. We must examine and analyze it and see to it that we accept only that which is true. You may say, but it is impossible amidst all this maze of teaching to know the difference between truth and error? Can we distinguish between the false and the true? Can we sort out what comes from God and what comes from the devil? The answer is definitely yes. We can know the difference. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, Paul writes, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, Paul says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." John concludes the first six verses of his first epistle in chapter 4, verse 6, by saying, "Hereby know we the truth, hereby know we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error." John, in the first six verses of chapter 4, shows us a few simple rules by which we can distinguish between the true and the false regarding our faith. And then he concludes in the latter part of verse 6 by saying that this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I believe that applying the principles that John speaks of here will help us to discern the truth, not only in our walk of faith, but also in our daily path of life. Let's take a closer look at what John has to say. 1 John 4, verses 2 to 3. So he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." Christianity is wrapped around the person of Jesus Christ. Anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ, his miraculous conception, his sinless life, his atonement on the cross, his bodily resurrection, and his future return, is a false teacher. The first simple rule by which you can discriminate between the true and the false is to ask the question, what place does this teacher or teaching give the person of Jesus Christ? How does this teaching stand on the atoning blood of Jesus? Where does this teaching stand about Jesus' sinlessness and his resurrection and his coming again? Jesus himself said, "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him," John 5:23. Notice that it is not one who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, that is Antichrist, but rather it is one who confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Many false teachers or teachings do not openly blaspheme the person of Christ or deny his deity, but neither do they proclaim his deity. Again, the Apostle Paul warns us against following teachers or leaders that fit the description that we find in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 8. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 8. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, I won't go into the many attributes of false teachers that are listed here, but I do want to draw out verse 5, where it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, if we would just take a moment and think about this, how many leaders or teachers do we have in our world today that have a form of godliness? On the outside, it appears that they are following God, but yet their lifestyle is completely contrary to what they are saying, who they say they are. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's be careful that we don't get drawn in by leaders who give lip service to God, yet their actions are completely contrary to the teaching of God's word. Jesus himself warned us of these in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 16. In Matthew 7, verse 15 to 16, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? By their fruit, or we could say by their works, by their actions, we should recognize them. Do not overlook this. When we look at someone who is a leader or a teacher, and we believe that they are following Christ, even though they may say so with their lips, let's make sure that their actions match with who they say they are. Discerning truth comes through the Holy Spirit. In our text in 1 John 4, verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When a person is born again, the Holy Spirit actually comes into the heart of that newly born child of God and lives there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? It is almost unbelievable that God would come and live inside us. But it is true. God does not dwell in earthly temples made with bricks and stones. God dwells in the cleansed temple of the human heart. Now John says here in verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, God the Holy Spirit who lives in you is more powerful than the devil who reigns in this world. The devil is constantly seeking to deceive. John speaks about false teachers. He does not say, believe not every teacher, but he says, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. John is simply saying that evil spirits are the source of false teaching, and that men who promote false teachings are influenced by the evil spirit, and not by the Holy Spirit. And so you see, the battle for our minds is a spiritual battle. It's not a matter of people that may oppose us. It's a matter of evil spirits opposing us. Therefore, we cannot discern between the false and the true merely on the basis of our own knowledge or our own head knowledge. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. Paul is simply saying that no man can know God's thoughts unless God's Spirit reveals them to him. discernment comes not from our reasoning powers or from our mental abilities that we may have, but true discernment comes from the Spirit's ministry within our hearts. And by maintaining a close fellowship with the Spirit who lives within the children of God, we will have light for the problems that face us. He will shine a light on whatever comes our way. We will be able to detect that which is false or counterfeit. And the Holy Spirit gives us an attraction for that which is true, and it makes us repulsive to that which is false. Now, when we come face to face with a truth, the Holy Spirit will, so to speak, ring a bell in our hearts, and we can sense that it is the truth. On the other hand, when we are faced with error or a falsehood, it just will not ring a bell. Or this thought might linger in the back of our minds, and we may think there was just something about it that didn't seem right to me. And we may not always be able to give a clear explanation of what was wrong, but we knew something about it didn't sound right. And I believe that that is the Spirit of God that is making us sensitive to that which is false. And in the last two verses of our text, in 1 John 4, verses 5 to 6, it says, "They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And John says here, uses the word they, referring to people who are unbelievers or even false teachers. And they speak as the world speaks, and the world understands them because they speak the world language. But John says, we, referring to the Christian, that we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. And the us referring to here as the apostles who are writing the word of God. And he that is not of God heareth not us. And this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of untruth or error. Discerning truth comes through God's divine word. And as John here says, he that knows God hears us. Now God, or as John was an ordained apostle, and John here speaking as a writer of Scripture, he says, we are of God. John and all the apostles were ordained of God to record his inspired word. And here again, John referring to the we have been especially commissioned by the Lord to teach God's word or God's truth. And then he goes on to say, one who loves God and one who has a desire for truth will get their final authority and teaching from the word of God. And those who are false will follow the opinions and the reasonings of men or of the world. The contrast in these verses is this. What does the world, or what do men say, versus what does the word of God say? And when we go back to 2 John, where we started off at the beginning of the message, I want to read a few more verses as we close. 2 John, verses 7 to 13. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. My hope and trust is also that we will very soon meet face to face in our respective churches, once again enjoying fellowship with each other and in the Lord. Be encouraged, even though we have not publicly gathered for a few months now. I'm reminded of Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And the psalmist David put it so well in the prayer that is written in Psalm 71, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 71, verse 1 to 5. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for your word. The word that you have inspired through the apostles to give us instruction so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, and as we have recently celebrated Pentecost and the sending of your Spirit to indwell the believers, we thank you that you give us the ability to discern right from wrong. And Lord, may you strengthen all of us in this area, that we would be able to take a stand for what is right. And when we are confronted with error, that we can firmly stand our ground and not to give way. Not to become fearful, not to doubt, but rather to be fully trusting. For Lord, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Lord, may you bless each listener for this coming day, and may you give them the strength and give them the guidance through your Spirit to walk the path as you have chosen for them, that they would remain true to you into all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I talked with the Lord many nights at my bedside. I've asked his forgiveness, I knelt to him. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For he died on the cross just to save us from sin. There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me.
I can see heaven's glory. And it holds me steadfast to his way and his love. It's guiding me through.
It's guiding me through temptation and evil.
There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. To the far distant shore, many friends gone before me. They're singing the praises of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be guided by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and I'm low. There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. Holds me steadfast to his way and his love.
It's guiding me through.
It's guiding me through temptation and evil.
There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I meet with my Savior, I'll trust that my soul will be free from all care. He'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the roll's called up yonder, I pray to be there. There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory.
And it holds me steadfast to his way and his love. It's guiding me through.
It's guiding me through temptation and evil.
There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above.
Again, I want to thank you for joining me today. And as I said before, I really look forward to seeing all of you again face to face in the very near future. And my prayer is that today, as we have looked into 1 and 2 John, that it will have enlightened us and given us some direction as to how we can know what is the truth, and that we would put our minds, put our effort into it of discerning the truth, and to sieve out the right from the wrong as we are faced with those many decisions throughout the day. And we know that there are so many that want to deceive us, and yet God has given us the tools that we can separate right from wrong. I want to leave you with the benediction from Hebrews 13, verses 28 to 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.